Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
My fingers are too fat.
Thank you.
Okay. So what you're looking at is what I called event 1162. If you see anything in blue on these charts, that's information that I added. I typically put my initial, JBW, Judson Blair Welcher, that's me. And so this is referred to as the key cycle trip. So key cycle is simply you turn it on, not necessarily turn the ignition on, turn it on, turn it off. That's one key cycle. So I labeled this one 1162-2 because there's also one that's on the same key cycle that I'm calling 1162-1. The system also records the mileage. So again, this is a maintenance system generally. So what you see is the T here is the trigger and there's a point. So this time in the text stream data, you could think of it as like a stopwatch. It's when it starts when the car turns on and stops when the car turns off. And then if it sees a triggering event, a T, it records that information. So this is when the trigger happened. So that's 1,142.2 seconds. And so I've converted that to minutes and seconds because most people don't think in seconds. And so what it also does is once it sees a trigger, it's constantly circulating data through the computer. So when it says, okay, we have a trigger, it saves 5 seconds before the trigger and then 5 seconds after the trigger. So the trigger's in the middle and you have 5 seconds of data before and 5 seconds of data after.
I have a couple questions for you,
please.
Dr. Welcher. First, starting with the clock, the time in seconds on the left, you mentioned that begins when the car is turned on. What type of clock is that called?
It's just a continuous clock, meaning it's not a clock like a time clock. It's more like a stopwatch kind of clock.
Has it ever been referred to as a running clock?
The same thing. You start the stopwatch, it's running.
Based on the text stream data alone found in that one spot, can you tell from the data in the text stream alone what time the power was turned on?
No, not alone. It simply tells you how long it's been on, It doesn't necessarily immediately tie it back to a clock time. You need additional information.
And so this in and of itself, the text stream data doesn't give you a certain time on a clock, like 1 o'clock or 2:30, anything like that.
No, it simply tells you in this case, when the trigger occurred, it's been on for 19 minutes and 2 seconds.
You also mentioned that there is a 10 second window of information this captures, 5 seconds before the T and 5 seconds after the T, the triggering event?
Correct.
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained, ask it differently.
That window of 10 seconds, what happens if that doesn't capture the entire event? What if there's something before or after? What does the text stream data do?
So it depends on what the something is. So if there's another trigger, then it will record more data. So you can have two triggers that are recording things on the same time window as well, or very close to the same time window. So you need another trigger to keep it going. But in essence, what it does is when it sees a trigger, it saves that 10 second window and then just keeps monitoring things until it sees another trigger.
If the data captures a trigger, it has a 10 second window, and an event continues past that 10 seconds, or past the 5 seconds on either side, and there's no further trigger, do you get any other information from the text stream data?
No. For example, in the trigger event, and say 5 seconds later, the vehicle's still moving, well, the data just ends. And it says it's going, I don't know, 17 miles an hour, for example. It doesn't continue on. We just know that when the trigger ended, it was going 17 miles an hour.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. So we have mileage recorded in this system. So what we're trying to do is use the available data to see if we can determine, you know, like what event this is, or is this the event, or is this something that could have occurred outside 34 Fairview on the evening of this event. And so one of the things we're utilizing is the mileage. Okay, so 12629 is at the event end of event number 2 on the 1162 ignition cycle. When the vehicle ultimately comes in to the impound yard, and this is actually before that, comes into the impound yard, it has 12,665 miles. That's a difference, did the math for you here, of 36 miles. Okay. Let's consider where that could have come from. So we looked at the various paths and descriptions of where Ms. Reed's Lexus was driven after leaving 34 Fairview on the night of this event, up until the point and time the vehicle ended up at the Canton Police Department. So we used Google Maps. We adjusted for the correct date and time of the year. And then what you'll also see is we adjusted for the correct time of day. So, although you can't really see that, let me see if I can blow it up. So you can see that's looking at the mileage and time. Again, really didn't use the time, just used the mileage. On Saturday, January 29th at around 12 a.m. That, of course, does not take into account the weather.
And what are the addresses? It's hard to see on the top from where to where.
So this is from 34 Fairview to One Meadows Avenue, which is Mr. O'Keefe's residence.
And there are other mileage that you have there?
Correct. So we basically ran through the entire path as we understood it. Again, we didn't have complete information. We didn't know the exact roads. We didn't know if turned around, stuff like that. So you're seeing the suggested available past, and we end up with a range of data. So we go through all the paths, and you can see that this is what we end up at the bottom here, which is very hard to see. So the minimum suggested route is 36 miles, 36.1 technically. You have a range of 37.9 to 39.7. But again, that's right in the range of the 36 miles. So that's a data point that's starting to build our confidence in what is in the text stream data being related to our event.
This is all an effort to match whether or not the 1162 data is relevant to a particular event?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Let me ask it this way. Matching all the distances by miles, is this the only way you're trying to determine whether 1162 is the event in front of 34 Fairview Road?
No. So again, these things are all tools. You can't take necessarily one data point in a vacuum. You need to consider the totality of the data. Which is what I did. So we mentioned the continuous clock that was in there, or the running clock that was in the vehicle. So what you see over here.
Could you enlarge that for us, Doctor?
I am doing that right now. You can see we have the time. And again, I've converted it in blue to minutes and seconds. This is the first trigger on that key cycle. So on key cycle 1162, there was two separate events. The vehicle keeps a continuously running clock. So we're able to see the time each event occurred relative to when the vehicle was started and the difference between the two events. Okay, so at trigger event 1162-1, we know that the ignition has been on for between 10 minutes and 57.4 seconds. Or that's when the trigger is, sorry, 10 minutes, 57.4 seconds. Again, the trigger has plus or minus. So that's from 10 minutes, 52.8 plus 10 seconds, which gets you to 11 minutes, 2.8 seconds. Or as I wrote here, 10 seconds total. So again, the text stream data indicates at the time this event was written, the trigger occurred, again, at 10 minutes. You see we have the T, 10 minutes, 57.4 seconds.
Dr. Welch, if I could ask you a couple of background questions. This block of time that you're reviewing that mentions two triggers, can you tell whether those triggers are immediately related or two separate events?
So you can tell they're separate events because there's a separate amount of time between them. There's about 8 minutes between the events. And so they're on the same ignition cycle, meaning the vehicle hasn't been turned off in between. And we have this continuously running clock that records when these things occurred. So it tells us when event one occurred, when event two occurred. We know it's on the same ignition cycle. So if we have some idea of when the car was turned on, we can then tie that back to clock time or real world time. Okay. So lots going on here, right? A lot to digest. This is trigger event 1162.1. I was provided with data and a report from Mr. Burgess that indicated the infotainment system was turned on at 12:36. Let me zoom in for you folks. That corresponded to a GPS location that looked like it was outside the Waterfall Grill on Washington Street. So additional cell phone data that we had is that we knew there was a 3-point turn made when the Lexus passed Fairview on Cedar Crest pulled into a driveway and made a three-point turn. So what you see over here is GPS data from Mr. O'Keefe's phone. And with that information and knowing when the system turned on, we're able to now tie the text stream data to a real clock, meaning what time of day did that text stream trigger occur. So we're going from the running clock to a real world clock. So if you take when it was turned on from Mr. Burgess's report, you can see that the Lexus was turned on at 12:12:36. You add in the text stream information, you get it at 12:23:38. And now we have a cell phone data point at 1:54. So at the time my report was written in these slides back in January, that was all the information we had in terms of data point 1:54. That was the one that was closest in time to it. So we had since received additional information.
Dr. Welch, let me ask you a couple questions, and if you can zoom in a little, we might be able to see it a little better from here.
Where would you like it?
If we can start at the top when you explain in text. You told us that the text stream data does not have an actual clock, it has a running clock, like a stopwatch?
Correct.
And then you mentioned that after you received information from Mr. Burgess, you could put an actual time onto it. How do you do that?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
You shared with us that the text stream data runs on a running clock.
Correct.
And then you received further information so that you could actually identify a time. Where did you receive that information from?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
That was from Mr. Burgess's report.
And do you know where that information came from?
That came off the SD card, I believe, in the infotainment system.
Do you know when Mr. Burgess found the SD card on the infotainment system?
No, I'd have to go back to his report. But it was in it, this information was in his original report.
Based on the SD card information about when the car was turned on and off, how do you match that with the text stream data to get a time?
So when the car is turned on, that's approximately when the running clock starts in it. There may be as much as a 3-second delay in it, but that's approximately when the clock turns on. So this shows us when the stopwatch was started for the text stream data. So knowing that, that infotainment system has date and timestamps on it, so that ties it to a real world clock from GPS information. And so now we can, when that infotainment system turned on, it's very close in time to when the text stream data started recording data, that allows us to tie the two together.
The times that you're showing on this slide, does that relate to the first or second event on the text stream data, the first or second triggering event?
The first event.
Do you characterize the first event in any way?
I call it the three-point turn.
In addition to the data you analyzed, was there any other information you saw that evidenced or supported that a three-point turn occurred at the area depicted in your slide?
Right. We have a whole series of GPS data with heading angles, as well as a description that Ms. Reed gave in an interview.
The time that you have after you consider the SD card ignition on and the running time, what clock is that based on?
It's my understanding that's a clock in the infotainment system. And then we're ultimately trying to also tie it back to the clock on his cell phone.
Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone,
correct.
Do you have any understanding whether all devices have the exact same clock?
So it's my understanding they do not. In my discussions with Mr. Burgess, reading reports, that they can have, there can be as much as 30 seconds to a minute of variation.
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Have you ever heard
the strike, Your Honor, that answer?
Sure. Jurors disregard that answer.
Have you ever heard the term variance before?
I have.
What do you understand that to be?
That means differences from the answer.
I'm sorry, differences from what?
From typically the correct answer. Like meaning that a given data point has variance in terms of how it's measured, when it's measured. So a different measurement device can have a different variance around the actual true number.
You mentioned on this slide a time of 12:23:38.
Correct.
And O'Keefe cell phone data at point 154, approximately 12:23:58.
Correct.
Is there a difference between the clock on the Lexus Techstream data and that of Mr. O'Keefe's iPhone?
There is.
When you developed the slide, did you have the benefit of more detailed information about data point 154?
I did not, receive that until May 8th.
Did you later learn more information, more specific information?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, I'd like to show an exhibit to Mr. Welcher that's already been admitted.
Okay.
It's 192A. Ms. Gilman, can we start with 192B? Dr. Welcher?
Yes, we'll come over.
Dr. Welcher, if you could take us back to slide 30. And so we understand you mentioned there were two triggering events. Is this the first one or the second one?
It's the first one.
Is that the one you've labeled the three-point turn?
Correct.
And where did that happen? What street?
Cedar Crest.
At this three-point turn triggering event, there is a time in red, 12:23:38?
Correct.
Where is that time taken from?
That's coming from the cell phone of Mr. O'Keefe at point 154.
Okay. And is there another time on there?
I do the math between those two.
Okay. Could you make that a little larger? Could you zoom in so we can see it better?
So there's an infotainment time of 12:12:36, I guess, another time to answer your question. Then
and
we have
the 12:12:36, what does that indicate? What's that relevant to?
That's when the text stream data basically turned on, plus or minus a little bit.
When you say the text stream, is that relative to when the car turned on?
Correct.
Okay.
Sorry. So when the car turned on, then we add the time for the trigger. So what we have is we have data in the text stream that shows the speed, the position, the steering of the vehicle on that trigger. And so we're trying to match the timing and the description of what the vehicle was doing with the text stream, the infotainment, and the cell phone data.
Is the data that you analyze regarding the speed, the direction, and the timing to determine whether this was consistent with a three-point turn?
Yes.
Okay. Continue, please. And if you can enlarge that, because it's hard to see back here.
That sure is. Okay, so again, we are looking at event 11:62:1. The information in blue is speed. It comes out of the text stream in kilometers an hour, converted to miles per hour, feet per second, looked at the total distance traveled, shift position. So in the text stream data, a shift position of 1 indicates you're in drive, a shift position of 2 indicates you're in reverse.
There's no zeros. What would a zero indicate?
Zero is usually neutral. and I believe 3 is park. So there's also data on the acceleration of the vehicle. So basically, what is the effect of whatever you're doing in terms of stepping on the gas or not stepping on the gas? And then there's also information on the steering of the vehicle. So again, there's trigger, 5 seconds before, 5 seconds after. So over here, a positive number equals a leftward steer. So you can see we have in the forward velocity or forward motion in drive, goes forward with leftward steer, stops, shifts into reverse, and then continues with a rightward steer back.
Could you take us over to the left of that data? When you look at the number 1162-1 as an event, can a key cycle, or when a car is turned on, power ignition on until the point is turned off, whatever amount of time, can it have more than one triggering event?
Yes, it can have lots of triggering events. In this case, it has 2. On a key cycle 1164, there's 11. On 1167, there's 10.
If you could move a little bit to the right on this, is there something you can see on here that caused the triggering event, some of the data?
Yes. So if you look at the triggering, the indication of what this trigger was, what you see is accelerator opening ratio, which is basically, you can think of it as how much you're stepping on the gas pedal. And so if it exceeds, in this case, 30% quicken time after shifting into reverse, that tells the system, hey, we might need to start recording this data. So what you can see, went into reverse, and then within a very short amount of time, accelerated pedal went above that 30%. That's what caused the T or the trigger in the TechStream data.
The row next to the 31.5 engine RPM data, can you explain to us what that is?
Sure, that's how many revolutions per minute the engine's turning.
The more gas, is it generally the higher the RPM?
Correct, there's gonna be a little lag. Your car doesn't move instantaneously. You have to step on the gas, then the RPMs go up, and then it starts going faster.
If you could explain to us the total distance and distance travel columns, how do you read that?
Sure, so we know the speed at various times. We know from this data that there is, you can see half a second between each one of these timestamps. So 10 data points at half a second. That's the 5 seconds of pre-crash data. So if you know you're going so many miles per hour, again, I converted it to feet per second. Feet per second, you're going so many feet per second for half a second, for example, you just multiply those two together and it tells you how far you went. So what I'm doing is looking at speed traveling during the interval, that's during this short time period, and then I add it all together here for total distance traveled.
You mentioned that when the data is captured, it's limited to 10 seconds. When we look at the top row of JBW vehicle speed MPH, it's 9.94. Is that 9.94 miles per hour?
It is.
Can we tell whether it was going faster or slower before this data?
We generally cannot. You might have some. It looks like it's slowing down. And then you see right here, this brake switch application. So you have 2 things relative to braking. You have a brake switch, which is simply whether the brake is on or off, just enough pressure to make the brake light come on. And then you have brake oil pressure, which gives you some idea of how much pressure is in the system, which is a rough indication for the braking. But then what you see here is the longitudinal acceleration or deceleration. This gives you some idea of how much the vehicle is speeding up or slowing down. So generally a minus sign is a slowing or accelerating in reverse.
And for the bottom of those columns, I'd ask you whether or not the beginning of the window, if you had any other information. Is it the same situation for the end of that window that's captured?
Correct. So at the end of this window, you can see it's still going about 8.7 miles an hour when the trigger stopped. So after that trigger plus 5 seconds, the system said we no longer need to monitor it. Things have returned to an okay state. And so then it stopped monitoring the system.
Based on your analysis and review and looking at this data, did you come to a conclusion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty whether or when this event occurred as it is portrayed in the data?
Yes, I did.
And could you share with the jury, to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty, when did this occur?
So this, you want time-wise or location or both?
Start with location, then time.
So it happened on Cedar Crest. It happened between cell phone data points 154 and 155. And it's a 3-point turn on Cedar Crest. And it occurred, according to the text stream data, about 12 minutes, 23 seconds after the vehicle was turned on. So,
and do you have an understanding of the variance between the Lexus clock and Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone?
Yes.
And what is that variance time?
21 to 29 seconds.
And so the Lexus clock at 21, 23, 38, what time would that put Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to see counsel at sidebar for just a minute, please.
Jurors, right this way. Please rise for the jury.
And Dr. Walton, we'll be back in 10 minutes.
Seated.
All right, so Mr. Brennan, you can continue. The objections overruled.
Thank you.
Dr. Welcher, could you take us to slide 30? Could you zoom in a little bit on the right photograph and the text under the right? Okay. You were explaining to us the time relevance of 12:23:38. And could you tell us again, remind us, what is 12:23:38 referring to?
The 12:23:38 is syncing the text stream time to real world time. So we know how long the text stream is on, we know when the vehicle was turned on, so we're adding those two together. So if you add the 12:12:36 to, for example, 11 minutes, 2.8 seconds, for when the end of the trigger is, that gives you 12:23:38. So the end of the trigger in real clock, real world time, no longer in the running clock, is now 12:23:38.
Based on the infotainment clock?
Based on the infotainment clock.
And that's from the Lexus?
From the Lexus.
Your Honor.
Sustained.
And where's that from?
The Lexus.
Thank you. The 12:23:58 number, what's the significance of that?
So that is Mr. Keefe's cell phone data at point 154. Again, from the original data we had just at 154 and 155 and not the in-between points. So,
and at the bottom in parentheses, explain to us what that means.
Sure. If you look at where the text stream math works out to be, 1223.38.8, and compare that to 1223.58, the difference between those two is 19.2 seconds.
The difference between which clocks?
Between what the text stream infotainment system would show compared to what 0.154 on Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone is.
And based on new data, do you now have information about what the variance, the difference is between the clock on the Lexus infotainment and the clock on Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone?
Yes.
And what is that?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow that.
It's, you need to advance the text stream clock 21 to 29 seconds.
You need to advance it 21 to 29 seconds for why? Why do you need to do that?
Because the cell phone is ahead 21 to 29 seconds.
After you advance the text stream ahead 21 to 29 seconds, can you then compare the information, the time that's coming from the infotainment system Lexus to Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone from his iPhone?
Correct. That's what you need to have an apples to apples comparison. You need to get them on the same time clock.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can proceed.
So I think we left off here. So that's 1162-1. So what we have is we have the cell phone data, the original cell phone data on the right-hand side. And then from that text stream data, you know, we have whether it's going forward, we have the speeds, and we have the steering angles. So from that information, we ran a simulation to show you what the text stream data means. This is what the 10 seconds of data is. And again, just because the simulation stopped, that's just where the text stream data ends. Again, as we showed you earlier, that the car's still moving, that's just the last data point we have. So what that text stream data shows is matching a 3-point turn on that Cedar Crest street. So we have the vehicle motion, the timing data consistent with the interview statements about making a turn, 3-point turn.
Can you take us back to the data chart and show the 2 points that you just mentioned, the turning, where is that reflected in the data?
Sure, so you can see.
You'll have to enlarge that, I'm sorry, Doctor.
Column N, that's the shift position. So that's looking, we start off going forward, right here, and you can see at the start of the simulation, we're going about 9.94 miles an hour. And then as you start a 3-point turn, you generally start, in this case, if you're going to the left, with the left turn. So you can see we have this steering angle here. Then the transmission, so again, we have the brake application, so you're coming in, but you're slowing down, and you get down to a speed of approximately zero, shift into reverse, back up, and then start to turn the other direction as you're backing up. So again, you want the rear to go to the right, you turn the steering wheel to the right, right is negative, and then as you start to pull around and pull forward, you turn back to correct for the steering, and so that's what this shows. So again, if you put it all into a simulation program, the speeds, the shifting, the distance, keep in mind we only have that 10 second window of data, and the steering angle for that Lexus, that's what it indicates.
Can you enlarge the photograph on the right with the data points and explain to us the significance of that?
Sure. So again, what we're trying to do is we have the infotainment, we have a text stream. We're now trying to see how that correlates to Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone. So we had originally very coarse data points, 154 and 155. There's additional data points between here. So we're looking at how well does ART's predicted time compare to those two. So with the cell phone correction, you end up with the text stream data at 12:23:59 to 12:24:07. So that's actually right in between these two data points. And so we know 154 was closest, but it's on the right-hand side of the road. 155 is when it's turned around and heading back in the southerly direction. So the cell phone data corroborates the text stream timing data in conjunction with the infotainment system data.
Thank you. Please continue.
Okay, so we talked about 1162-1. That's the first trigger on the text stream. So we're going to go to 1162-2. So I've highlighted that in yellow. So we're now talking about the second trigger. So this is on the same ignition cycle. It's on ignition cycle 1162. We have that same continuous running clock, but we've now synced it to real world clocks. So instead of the running clock, we now have some information on the real world clock. So at this time, we know the ignition has been on for 19 minutes and 2 seconds. So at the trigger, 19 minutes and 2 seconds. And again, we have 5 seconds either side of that. So between 18 minutes, 57.6 seconds to 19 minutes, 7.5 seconds.
Could you enlarge that, please?
Which part?
That part where your arrow is. You were speaking about the clock. Could you explain that so the jury can see?
Sure. So again, this is continuous from when the time comes on. I just converted it to minutes and seconds here, so you can see how long it's been on. This is the mileage. These are the speeds over here. And this is some information on how far it traveled. Again, we have the plus minus on the steering. That gives us some information on the steering. Really, there's very little steering going on at this point. Slight leftward steer.
Dr. Welcher, did you determine how long after the first trigger, that three-point turn, that this second trigger occurred?
Yes. The three-point turn occurred about 8 minutes after.
You said the three-point turn occurred
after? I'm sorry, this event, I misspoke. 11.2 occurred about 8 minutes after.
After the three-point turn?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Can you walk us through this data?
Sure. Okay. So we have the accelerometer data here. I've highlighted a shift from drive to neutral to reverse.
I'm sorry, you're going to need to zoom that in so we can see it.
Absolutely. We have information on the brake switch, brake oil pressure. We have the acceleration data here. And then from that information and using the acceleration data, calculating the speed at which it's backing up. The reason we have slightly different calculations here is we have some evidence that the wheel's slipping on the ground. So we need to use the accelerometer because the wheel speed is simply telling you the speed of the wheel. It's like if you're stationary burning rubber, the speedometer reads a certain speed, but you're not going anywhere. But the accelerometer tells you how much the vehicle's moving. So from all that information, we get information on how far the vehicle's traveled. We've done it in terms of total travel distance. We've done it relative to the start position.
I'm going to ask you to start on the columns on the left and take us through the information that you have regarding this second triggering event. So if you can scroll all the way to the left.
All the way to the left?
Yep. Okay. So the first column regarding time, could you remind us again what that is?
So again, that's the continuous running clock.
And the second column in blue?
That's where I take that time and convert it to what we more commonly use, minutes and seconds.
And now we have a key cycle event, different than the three-point turn. What's the number?
So this is now 1162-2. And so again, it's technically in the system, the same key cycle. I've called it 1162-2.
And the red number next to it to the right?
That's the mileage. So it's actually at the same mileage as 1162-1. So we know, obviously, they're within the same mile.
If you can scroll over a couple of columns. From your data, can you tell during that event how far the Lexus traveled during that event?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
So we have accelerometer data. We have velocity data or speed data back here. I've corrected for what you see down here is, and I go through this on a later slide, but right here you can see a significant increase in the RPMs, but yet the acceleration is dropping. So what that means is if your RPMs are going up and the speed's going up, that means you should be accelerating more. But what happens because the acceleration is dropping, that means what's actually happened is the wheel's slipping. So what I've done is I've used the accelerometer's data to calculate the speed once the vehicle is put into reverse. And once we know the speed, again, feet per second, we know every data point is half a second. So speed times time tells you how far you moved. Feet per second, feet divided by seconds times seconds gives you feet. That's how far you went. So you get how far you went in each interval, then you get the total distance traveled. And so this is relative to the start. So zero is the start. The vehicle goes forward about 34 feet. Then you can see it basically stops in this area here, then begins to back up and ends up backing a total of 53 back from where it originally started. So if you add 53 to 34, you get 87. So the total motion, 34 forward, 53 back, the Lexus moved 87 feet total.
Dr. Welcher, when you say the Lexus moved 83 feet total, is that according to the data or is that the entirety of the movement of that Lexus?
No, that's just from when the data starts to when the data ends. So if you look at when the data starts, you can see that the vehicle is actually going 13.67 miles an hour. When the data stops, the vehicle is still going 23 miles an hour. And you can see,
I'm sorry,
you can still and see that it's still at 74% throttle. So, you know, this is 3/4 of full throttle in reverse.
So to start with the distance traveled, if you can go to the top, we see that the speed is 13.67. Is that where the data gets picked up?
That's where the first data point is. Again, the trigger is here. This is 5 seconds before the trigger.
Are you able to tell how fast or slow the vehicle is traveling before that data point of 5 seconds before the trigger?
No.
And likewise, on the bottom, the speed, at the end of the 10-second data points at 23.61, can you tell whether or not that speed stayed the same, increased or decreased?
I mean, considering you're at 74% throttle, it likely increased. How much, I don't know. And you can see that up here, she's on the brake. Down here, she's not on the brake. And so she's not on the brake, and at 74% throttle.
And what is the percentage of throttle that has to be initiated to cause a triggering event?
For a shift into rear and a rapid throttle application, it's 30%.
If you look at the next column over, if you can go to the top heading for the jury to see, the engine RPM data, could you explain that?
Sure, again, that's the engine RPMs. And so, as I mentioned, you have this jump in engine RPMs and a very dramatic jump in the reported speed of the vehicle. But when you look at the acceleration is actually dropping. So again, that's a telltale sign that the tire is spinning because the vehicle is not being accelerated. And so I've used the accelerometer data. Again, if you just, a process called integration, you integrate the accelerometer data, it will give you the velocity. So what I've done is, it's called piecewise integration, to get the speed data that takes into account the tire slippage, and from there calculated the speed or the to position at each interval going across the top here.
If I could stop you at your column that says JBW speed at each time step.
Yep.
If you go to the bottom, please. So does your data indicate that the speed is changing at the end of this 10-second event?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Is the speed changing at the end of this event?
Yes.
How so?
Well, again, you can see it's increased about 2.7 miles per hour. And again, we know from what I already stated that that last time step, you're still at 74% throttle and you have zero brake application.
Is it possible from the data to tell how far the Lexus went forward before it went in reverse in total as far as feet?
Not in total, no. We just have this 10-second window. I can tell you what it did during this 10-second window.
Is it possible to tell how far it continued after the data?
No.
The shift position changes from 1 to 0 to 2. Can you again explain to us what that means?
Sure. 1 is drive, 0 is neutral, 2 is reverse. And then brake switch status, again, a 1 is you're on the brake pedal, enough to activate the brake lights, 0 is you're off the brake pedal.
Each one of those indicators, 1, 0, 2, how much time is for each of those?
0.5 seconds.
So can you tell how long the Lexus was in neutral for?
So again, it only occurs at one time step. And again, there's a little timing issue. Like, we only have data every half second. You don't know exactly where in that time it was.
Okay, you can continue, Dr. Welcher.
Next slide, or continue on this slide?
Unless there's something else you want to point out to the jury on this slide, you can
move
to the next.
So, similarly, using this information to then try to tie it back to the cell phone data to make sure we have the real-time information. Again, this was written back in January before I got the additional information. So what you can see is, I'll zoom in. Again, we're now talking about trigger 1162.2. We know that that's 18 minutes that the vehicle's been on, 18 minutes, 57 seconds, 19 minutes, 2 seconds. This is the range, again, the plus or minus 5 seconds. 19 minutes, 2 seconds is when the trigger occurred. Infotainment system, adding those two together, 12, 36, plus the 19, 7.5, indicates the end of 1162-2 is at 12:31:43.
That 12:31:43, is it based on the Lexus clock from the infotainment system?
It is. It would need to be corrected to the O'Keefe cell phone data.
And when you reconcile that variance of 21.29 seconds, what is the time?
You end up with 12:32:04. So if you simply take this and add 21 seconds to it and add 29 seconds to it. So you get between 12:32:04 and 12:32:12.
When you reconcile the two clocks and you have that range of 12:32:04 to 12:32:14.
12:32:12.
I'm sorry, 12:32:12. Does that simply accommodate the window of data, but not before and after?
Correct. So, you know, again, even on John's O'Keefe's cell phone, even within his cell phone, there's somewhere between 21 to 29 seconds difference on his cell phone. So even that one piece of instrumentation has some variance to it. So we know it's between 21 to 29 seconds at this approximate time. So this is taking into account that variance.
So the only time window that you have is based on the data, and that's reflected in the 12:32:04 to 12:32:12?
Objection.
Sustained.
Is there any other window you can accommodate with the data you have other than that 10-second window?
Yes.
What's that?
So I was given information about a final lock event on the phone.
Okay. Let's stick with this window if we can.
Okay.
Since you only have 10 seconds of data, is it possible from the Lexus clock data to have a larger window than this 10-second window?
No, the Techstream will only give you a 10-second window,
okay.
But it doesn't tell the whole story because the vehicle's still moving.
Understood. Okay, continue, please.
So I have this other event, a lock event, and the information I was given that at 12:32:09, and so we have the Techstream data ending at somewhere between 12:32:04 and 12:32:12, which puts this number right in the middle of that, more or less.
Continue.
Is this a good place to take a luncheon break?
Certainly, Your Honor.
Okay, so why don't we do that, Juror? So we'll take 45 minutes for lunch.
Hey, Juror's right this way.
And again, Dr. Wilson, you can just follow
up.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
You are muted.
This court is in session. Please be seated.
All right, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Ron. Dr. Welch, when we left off, you had given us your opinion on this slide. Could we proceed to slide 35, please?
Slide 35?
I believe the next slide is 35?
Correct.
Okay. Now, when we look at this slide, I'm going to ask you to zoom in, and if we can start from left to right, and we can identify each category as you discuss it and explain to us the importance of the columns.
So we already touched on this from left to right. You know, the first column is the continuous running clock. Second column is where I converted it to minute and seconds. You can see we're on trigger 11:62:02. This is the second trigger. The particular boxes that are highlighted are where there's change. For example, in the upper right, when you're transitioning from drive to neutral to reverse, and then I already discussed this a little bit, but where the wheel's slipping, you can see you have high acceleration pedal application, increase in the RPMs. But when you look at the effects on the vehicle, you can see that it's accelerating less. So that's indicative of slippage of the wheels. And then I simply show at the bottom the math I use to derive all that. So again, we touched on most of this. It's the same slide you saw before, just to show how corrected for the speed.
If you could zoom in for a second, I want to ask you a question about the RPM column.
RPM column, go ahead.
If you could zoom in.
Oops.
You see in the last line, the last piece of data captured, the RPMs changed from 3,200 to 3,300.
Correct.
And the accelerator is it fair to say, is that depressed? What's the way you characterize that?
Sustained.
How would you characterize 74? What does that mean?
I mean, it's 3/4 of full throttle. It's 74% of full throttle.
If above it's 74.5, it drops to 73.5 and then back to 74, why is the RPM higher than above?
So there's, again, this data is referred to as being asynchronous. It's, you're reporting it at particular times, but the computer's scanning the network for the data. So it's not all on exactly the same time step. Not only that, but there's frequently,
Sorry.
There frequently is a delay from when you step on the accelerator pedal to when that translates to increased RPM at the engine. It takes a little time to build it up or take it down.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So similar to what we did on the first one, basically what we did is we took all the text stream data that we had, which includes the shifting, the forward, the reverse, and the steering. Again, there was a tiny bit of leftward steer, and put that into a simulation program where we're simulating what the Lexus will do. So we've taken into account the mechanical characteristics, the steering response of the Lexus. So this is to show what it represents on the left-hand side. So each one of these little hash marks, different color, represents 10 feet. The red lines show the extent of motion. Remember what I said, initially pulled forward, then backed up past its initial spot, and then went backwards further distance. So what this shows is where we simulated this in a program called HVE. So that's the vehicle, the Lexus, pulling forward. And then it accelerated in reverse, passed its initial starting position, and came to rest right there.
Doctor, when you say it came to rest there, do you data that the defendant's Lexus stopped there?
No, it did not come to rest. I misspoke. That's where the text stream data ends. As you can see here, it's still going.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Class is now in session. And the UPS store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.